Saluton from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 17th of February 2026, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. Kicking off this week, on Thursday the 12th, Reuters reported that, according to Secretary General Mark Rutte, NATO countries said they are committing hundreds of millions of dollars to help Ukraine purchase the US-made weapons under a coordinated priority list. Speaking alongside defense ministers from the UK, Germany, and Ukraine, Rutte said several allies have already pledged funds and more contributions could follow. He did not give a total figure, but stressed that members are continuing to line up financial backing to support Ukraine's military needs. On Tuesday the 10th, the European Union's defense commissioner said Europe should build a formal defense union, so countries share responsibility for protecting the continent, rather than leaning heavily on partners like the US. In a speech to lawmakers in Brussels, he argued an official framework would help EU states coordinate better and work toward developing their own space and refueling capabilities instead of relying on outside support. In an update to a story we have been reporting in previous shows, on Saturday the 14th, the International Criminal Court decided that former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is able to take part in pre-trial proceedings over accusations tied to his drug war and refused his latest appeal questioning that judgment, leaving the earlier fitness decision in place. Also on Saturday the 14th, the United States urged other governments to push the Pacific island nation of Vanuatu to drop a draft United Nations resolution tied to a major international court of justice opinion on climate. The proposal calls for strong global action, reparations for countries that don't meet environmental responsibilities, national action plans, and the end of fossil fuel subsidies. The US State Department told its diplomats the resolution could threaten US industry and urged them to oppose it, saying the court's interpretation shouldn't be turned into binding commitments. In more UN news, on Sunday the 15th, Antonio Guterres, the United Nations Secretary General, urged Nigeria to take a leading role in Africa in shaping a changing global order during talks on the sidelines of the African Union summit in Addis Ababa. He said Nigeria's large population, thriving democratic system, and substantial human and natural resources give it an edge in helping drive the continent's global influence. Guterres also voiced support for Nigeria's bid for a permanent seat on the UN Security Council and praised its economic reforms and efforts to keep peace in West Africa. Next up, on Wednesday the 11th, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries said its latest monthly report projects that world demand for oil from the group will fall by about 400,000 barrels per day. The group paused production increases earlier this year as demand softened. The organization left its longer-term demand forecasts unchanged and noted that factors like cheaper crude because of a weaker dollar are helping consumption. Meanwhile, on Monday the 9th, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe hosted a conference in St. Gallen, Switzerland, on fighting anti-Semitism and other forms of intolerance. Swiss and international officials, civil society groups, and diplomats gathered to talk about recent trends in hatred and discrimination and to boost cooperation between governments and communities. They stressed that reaffirming commitments isn't enough. Instead, practical political action and lasting cooperation are needed to tackle prejudice and promote mutual respect across participating states. Moving to Asia, on Friday the 13th, local people in Myanmar's southern Shan state began using new skills to help bounce back after last year's earthquake. With support from the International Labour Organization and funding from Japan, community members completed vocational training in areas like sewing, traditional weaving, computer basics, and masonry to help them earn a living and rebuild their neighborhoods. This effort is part of a wider program that also creates short-term jobs, repairing local infrastructure, and aims to make recovery more community-led and sustainable. In some hopeful news on international cooperation, on Saturday the 14th, Ukraine's foreign minister met with the Secretary General of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference to talk about stepping up collaboration and keeping dialogue flowing between Kyiv and the Southeast Asian bloc. They focused on practical areas like food security, energy, and digital ties, and Ukraine's aim to become an ASEAN sectoral dialogue partner. Ukraine's foreign minister also extended an invitation for the ASEAN leader to visit his country, underscoring Kyiv's interest in deeper engagement with the group. On another note, on Saturday the 14th, the Food and Agriculture Organization, UNICEF, and France announced a new effort to help families in eastern Afghanistan recover from recent earthquakes. They are combining resources to improve access to food, support farmers, and boost nutrition for children and mothers in hard-hit areas. The plan includes distributing seeds, tools, and livestock feed so farmers can plant crops this spring, as well as clean drinking water and nutrition supplies for vulnerable households. In some health news, on Friday the 13th, the World Health Organization put out a statement about a planned hepatitis B vaccine trial in Guinea-Bissau that would randomize newborns to different timings for their first dose. The organization said the vaccine is a well-proven, life-saving intervention that prevents mothers from passing the virus to their babies and voiced serious concerns about the scientific and ethical basis of withholding it from some participants in a study. In more health news, on Friday the 13th, the Pan American Health Organization and the Caribbean Public Health Agency signed a new framework agreement aimed at boosting regional health cooperation across the Caribbean. The pact lays out a joint operational plan so that both groups can work more closely under an existing Caribbean cooperation strategy, coordinate technical support, avoid duplicated efforts, and tackle shared health priorities, even as many countries face tight budgets and emerging threats. On Wednesday the 12th, the Inter-American Development Bank agreed to lend about $200 million to Paraguay to pay for a major section of the transcontinental bi-oceanic corridor, an overland route linking the Atlantic and Pacific. The money is aimed at upgrading part of a national highway in western Paraguay so that goods can move more easily across borders to markets and ports beyond, especially for local producers. Officials say the investment should boost trade, open up services for residents in remote areas, and help connect Paraguay more closely with neighbors. Back to Africa, on Tuesday the 10th, the African Union welcomed a deal between the Democratic Republic of Congo and the M23 rebel group to establish a ceasefire mechanism and calm ongoing violence, praising the initial steps toward reducing hostilities. Officials said the arrangement includes teams on the ground to monitor the cessation of fighting and build trust between government forces and the armed group. Leaders called the agreement a constructive move and urged all sides to keep engaging so the situation doesn't escalate again while diplomats work on full follow-up plans. And to wrap up this week's episode, on Monday the 9th, in an opinion piece for The Guardian, diplomatic editor Patrick Wintour argued that a new Munich Security Conference report shows Europe is realizing it should be more assertive and less reliant on the United States, especially under President Trump's leadership, which the report says has strayed from long-held democratic norms. Wintour says the document sets the stage for sharp debate when global leaders gather for the conference, highlighting disagreements over issues such as Ukraine's war, NATO and US trade moves, and urging Europe to think independently about its security and political role. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. For those who may want to find out if we get any of these updates going again, go to www.rorschach.com/updates. It's also in the show notes. There, you can give us your email address and we will let you know if anything changes. And of course, you can always just send us an email to info@rorschach.com and let us know to keep you informed. But most of all, thanks for the outpouring of support. See you next week.